The Bible reading today is from two parts of the Bible. The first part is from the Psalms 127, and the second part is from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. You may want to follow it by grabbing a Bible if you can find one, or you may relax and listen to the words of God. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labour in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. Second part of the reading. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Amen.
When I was about 5 or 6, I remember playing in the backyard of our house. It wasn't a large backyard, but sufficient for Bondi Junction. It was big enough to have one of those Hills Hoist rotary clothesline things, you know, the ones that spin around in the breeze. And so I did what all boys did and do and will continue to do, world without end, amen. I climbed all over that thing. And I could get some speed up on it if I got it to spin around and then hang on. I just have a free ride, you see. And I noticed one day as I was doing this, my dad had pulled up in the car and was coming in the back gate. So I unfortunately was crouched on one of the arms of this thing and stood very still. You see, I had my dad's scout belt on, and I'd been watching the Phantom Agents. Remember the Phantom Agents on television? They were sort of like a cross between the samurai and Bruce Lee. They had little helmets and samurai swords, but could hide themselves in brick walls by pulling out a make-believe brick wall and just go invisible. So I'd been watching that. So I figured I'd turn into a Phantom Agent on top of this thing as my dad went past. And he walked past, so I was really quiet. And just when I thought the danger was over, he turned and said, "What are you doing up there? Get down." I can't remember what else took place at that moment, but I do understand that pain tends to block out bad memories. I remember thinking to myself, how did he know I was there? Now that I'm a dad, I know. And it's a secret. So I'm not telling you. Dads, the Bible tells us that we've been given an awesome power by God. And on this Father's Day, it's therefore appropriate to honour you and to explore this awesome power so that we might know how to make the most of it. Now, I just want to speak to the men, though for the next 30 seconds, I'm speaking to all the women. Women, you are not allowed, I repeat, you are not allowed to poke your husband in the ribs at any point. You are not allowed to take notes just in case he misses something. You're not allowed to do what I heard someone else do in another church, repeatedly exclaiming things like, "That's right, that's good, that's it," all the way through the message. It's just for men. Now men, this significant power that we have is for a relatively short time. When I first became a dad, I was told by more experienced fathers, treasure each moment because time travels so fast. And I thought, sure. Here my eyeballs are hanging down around my knees because I haven't had sleep because my child won't settle. Time is not flying. It's come to a complete standstill and you're telling me it's going to fly. Well, I want to say after 14 years of being a dad, treasure each moment time travels so fast. Yesterday a child is born. Today she is baptized. Tomorrow she changes her name. I watched my daughter take her first breath. It was though it was just a few hours ago this morning. 18 years ago, I asked the young woman who'd stolen my heart to leave her father and live with me. It's just possible that in less than 10 years, I will watch my daughter leave my home with another man whose heart she has stolen. I know some of you dads can't see beyond this week's bucket of nappies and wonder if ever it will come to an end. Well, let me tell you that they do. We changed our last nappy in 1997. How do I know? I had it bronzed. Testament to our endurance and achievement as a parent. And for others, I know that there's the acute heartache and wonder if ever the pain of fatherhood will be eased. For you, there is a Heavenly Father who knows your pain, for he too has watched wayward children wreck their lives. And he is therefore a source of comfort and strength to you. Well, regardless of where you are, dads, God wants you to hear this. You are very important people. Every father in this room is a very important person. God says to you from Psalm 127, sons are a heritage from the Lord. He says, blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. And then in the psalm that follows, he says, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus is a man blessed who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem. And if you happen to be a grandfather, may you live to see your children's children, says God. If you are a grandfather and seeing your children's children, you are doubly blessed. Is a man blessed by God? Not only is that so, but the Bible says, God says to us, he has given us men, fathers, a power to shape lives like no one else can on the planet. For he says in Psalm 127, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. In other words, like an arrow, like a warrior with bow and arrow in hand, the warrior is able to shape and fashion arrows and then shoot them and point them in any direction that he wishes. So are children in the hands of a father. We have the power to direct our children. The question is, how will we do that? Where will you direct your children? Well, most of us want to do the right thing. Most of us feel ill-prepared. No matter where you look on a child when they are born, they don't come with an instruction manual. I looked at every child. I couldn't find one of those. But there is one sentence in the New Testament that helps. It was from the second Bible reading that was read out to us, where the Bible says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. This morning I want to look at what not to do and then what to do. Now, in part to help us, we've got these bikes here. They're good to look at and there's some details on them. You can look at them afterwards. Now, men who own these bikes, they've just been placed in these positions. This is no reflection on your motorbike. So please don't come up to me and say, this bike's better than that bike. I haven't got a clue. I've just noticed that these bikes are different and these bikes have got the word Triumph on them. So I'm going to say, we can make the decision to move in this direction and Triumph, or we can move in this direction. You can do anything you like. So there are things not to do as a dad, and there are things to do. And we can make the decision about which direction we will ride off from this building in. It's our choice. The Bible says here, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Now, unfortunately, there are hundreds of ways that we can exasperate our children. We can do it in little lollipop steps or big steps, but we can keep exasperating our children and move in this direction. There's a 10-year-old boy I know of who asked his dad to go to the movies with him while they were on holidays. He got all excited because his dad said yes. First and only time they'd ever been to the movies together. Before the ads had finished, before the movie had started, the dad said, I need to go to the toilet, so off he went. He did not return until some minutes after the movie had begun. A little while later through the movie, he said he had to go to the toilet again, and off he trotted and did not return for some 10 or 15 minutes. And that happened frequently throughout the movie. The last time that happened, the 10-year-old boy noticed that his father had actually been going out the exit door of the theatre down the side. They were sitting up in the dress circle. He noticed he'd gone out through the exit door. And the exit door just happened to be opposite the pub across the street. It had been clear that the father had been going to the pub, not the toilet, throughout the whole movie. Do you not think that exasperates a child? And that's humiliating a child. A number of years ago, my wife and I were at a camp, I think it's BC, before children, and we were just enjoying it, the camping at the Warren Bungles, if I recall correctly. And one morning, as we were sort of getting ourselves up to do nothing, we heard this man across the other side of the camping ground at the Warren Bungles chiding his boys. And he had them lined up, two or three of them lined up in a row, and like an old-fashioned schoolmaster, he had them with their hands out like this, while he was whipping them with a length of rope, trying to determine some ill or other, for the whole camping ground to see. The movies and the camping are exasperating children. And they just get angry. And they don't want anything to do with their fathers when that takes place. And of course, there are a myriad of ways in which fathers can exasperate their children. Not only this excessive severe discipline, but harsh demands or abuse of authority, unfairness, constant nagging and condemnation, insensitivity to a child's needs and sensibilities. My observation of men is there are not many men who relish in exasperating their children. Who in their right mind would want to do that? Most fathers want to be the best that they can be. They just mess up. We mess up. While we want to use God's power in the way that would bring children on, there are times when we just mess up big time. Now, if that is you, then let me press pause for a moment and say, there is a God in heaven who calls himself your Father, particularly if you follow him. And he would just love to forgive you and heal you and help you become a father who will not exasperate but build, if you would just want to do that. I can talk to you about him afterwards, but for now we need to move on. So instead of exasperating, we need to do other things. And so there are four lessons I want to introduce us to that just might help us with to use the power that God has given us well. So this part of the Bible says, instead of exasperating our children, dads, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Bring them up. The idea here is to be gentle, to be nourishing and nurturing. A great reformer 400 or 500 years ago by the name of John Calvin, who revolutionized not just the church's understanding of God, but also the French culture and language, wrote, when he translated this verse, let children be kindly cherished. Let children be kindly cherished. Be tender to children, which is to be just like God towards us. In another psalm, Psalm 103, we're told, as a father is tender towards his children, so is the Lord tender towards those who fear him. Or in another translation, as a father has compassion towards his children, so is the Lord compassionate towards those who fear him. And Jesus was gentle too. He said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Be gentle, like God, with your children. So if you wrestle with your boys, let them win from time to time. As they get older, you don't have to let them win, they just win. Don't be like the dad who's on, I think it's a Foxtel ad, where the camera's there and the boys have got their cricket stumps lined up in the front yard at a dead-end street. You know this one? The boys are lined up, guys got the helmet on, big gloves, pads, bat, and the dad takes the cricket ball. He starts issuing orders. Someone, you, over by the garage. You down here, you down there, you down here, you down here. And he takes a long run off and bowls at full pace. Stumps go flying everywhere. The poor boy drags off his bat like this because he's out for a duck. You know, the whole deal. And the dad's doing a dance because he's won. I just want to say that's a dad who's never grown up. Don't do that. Be gentle with your children. And the older we get, the more patience and wisdom we have. But something strange happened to me when I entered my 40s, amongst other things. But this thing happened. I woke up one day and I thought, you know, I don't have to do it all yesterday. I just felt like I didn't have to do everything yesterday. Now, for me, that's a major change. There's time now. Yeah, I've still got a few other things to learn, but I've worked out there's time now. And so I would encourage you to take time and to be patient and to be gentle. And when we speak even with our adult children, we need to speak in gentleness with them. In the book called Proverbs in the Old Testament, the writer says this: a gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. A gentle answer turns away wrath. So the first thing is, guys, be gentle, and you can take a step over here to being triumphant. Second lesson is, we need to do training and instruction. As natural as Thorpe is, not even he could merely jump into a pool and break records at games like Pantpax or the Commonwealth Games. He too needs to submit to training and instruction of swimming in order to go for gold and to break records. And it's the same with people. People cannot merely just begin life without training and instruction and live it well. Children need to learn things so that they can live and live well. And dads, we need to train and instruct our children so that they will live well. Now, training and instruction, yes, it does include discipline, physical discipline possibly, and other sorts of discipline. But it certainly includes setting boundaries so that children can grow well. Again, from the Proverbs, Proverbs 19 and verse 18, the writer says, discipline your son, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to his death. Discipline your sons, it says. In the New Testament, another book says this, Hebrews chapter 12. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. We need to set boundaries and discipline our children and train them so that they will know how to live and live well. And we can train and instruct our children by answering the never-ending flow of questions, but not the great Australian way, which is such a difficult temptation for men. Ask your mother. You know, after a while, ask your mother. And then she just goes a bit loopy and throws things around the kitchen. You know you're not, you know, guys, you know you're going to be asked the big sex question one day. You know that. So don't try and hide from it. Prepare for it and get in before the school does. It's better to hear it from you than the school. Now, it's not easy to do this sex thing. My wife and I, we used to do the sophisticated process of working out who would do this. It's called scissor, rock and paper. To determine which child, which adult would teach which child. We played the best of 99. More importantly, you need to teach children and answer their questions about God. A man by the name of Simon was working in his office. He was a minister, working on some stuff, and his son came in quite young, and he said, Dad, how come there's grass? Not the stuff you smoke. Although, I mean, sorry, I'm used to saying that from where I come from. You probably just have stuff you cut. Anyway, why have we got grass? He said, I don't know. You'll have to ask God. So the son went over into the corner of the dad's study, knelt down on his knees, held his hands, and obviously went into silent prayer. So Simon sat back and thought, well, this will be interesting. And after a while, a few minutes, the son got up and looked at his dad and said, God says it's for mowing. And walked out. We have to be able to answer their questions. In the Old Testament, the writer says this in Deuteronomy chapter 6, in future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, the decrees and the laws the Lord our God has commanded you, tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but when the Lord called us out of Egypt with his mighty hand, before our eyes the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders, great and terrible upon Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land he promised on oath to our forefathers. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God so that we might prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey his law before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, then we will be righteous. You see, the Old Testament saying, dads, you know, when your child asks you why we're living here and not over there, say, this is what God has done. God has brought us to this point. For us who live in the 21st century, we need to be able to give answers to the questions that our children raise about why we go to church. Why do we baptize children today? What does that mean? We could answer their questions on Christmas. Why do we go to church? And Easter? Why do we say grace before the meals? Why do we pray at the end of the day? And they're just the easy questions. And Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4 tells us that we need to raise these children in the instruction of the Lord. That is, we need to teach them such that they will know Jesus. And he's not a bad person to know. He is a holy God like we sang about at the beginning, but he's a God of compassion and mercy. He is gentle with his people. This is the one to get to know. He loves us so much that he went to the cross and died for us so that we might know him. A phrase that I use from time to time is, he'd rather die than live without us. He is an awesome God, and we need to introduce our children to him. And we can do that by teaching them about Jesus as we walk through life. So when you're walking down the beach, you might remember the words of Psalm 93, as the waves crash over the rocks. You could say, mightier than the waters that crash, greater than the thundering waters is our God. Or at night time when you're on holidays and you're in the country and you see the night sky, you might remember Psalm 19. The stars declare the handiwork of God. You might teach them that you love them and that their Heavenly Father loves them unendingly, all so that they will know how to live. And as our children get older, we can help them think through the issues that they face in their life. Puberty, getting married, watching their first child come into the world. We can teach them from a godly perspective because we have been before if we would just take the time to train and instruct. The third thing is to model. Modeling is so important to children. It's the best way to teach them. James Baldwin said, children have never been really good at listening to their elders, but they have never failed to imitate them. Kids want to know that if the truth that we follow is powerful enough to make a difference in our life and make a difference in their life, they want to know if it's powerful enough. And so God keeps saying to us, men, you take to heart what God has taught you, and you live it out, and you pass it on to your children. Children want to know if a man can walk his talk. And there is nothing more attractive than a man who can walk his talk. So how you treat your wife, you see, will speak volumes to your children, whether they are male or female. How you treat your wife will set the bar on what your daughters expect of the man that they will marry. If the bar is low, they'll settle for anybody. If the bar is high, they won't accept anything less. So how you treat your wife will teach your daughter who to look for. How you treat your wife will teach your sons how to treat their wives when they find a wife one day. And because life is often affected by heartache and suffering, we can be an example in how to respond to disaster. During the tornado season one year in Texas, a man's work was ripening in the fields, and a whole year's sweat was producing a crop that would make ends meet. The tornadoes came and ripped the field to pieces in a matter of minutes, and on the veranda, looking at the devastation, was a boy and his dad. The boy looked up at his dad, wondering how he would respond. And the father simply sang, "Rock of Ages cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee." The boy was to say later as a man, "It was the most powerful sermon that I ever heard." Men, if you do not yet know Jesus, the one that Victor has spoken of and the one I'm speaking of, you can learn a lot about fathering by knowing him. That's certainly my experience. I have a long way to go, but it's certainly my experience that as I experience him fathering me, I am then able to better father my children. And as children see the radical transformation in your soul, you will become more attractive to them, and they will want to be just like you. And so you can move in this direction. And of course, all of this calls for some time. It calls for thought. in a busy and fast-paced world. All too often we're caught out like the dad who would come home every night with his briefcase, and every night after the meal would go away to his study to work on his books and stuff for work while mum helped with the kids. And one night one of his children asked him, why? Can't you get it all done in a day? He said, why? And the dad said, well, I can't get it all done in a day. And the son said, well, can't they put you in a slower group or something? So we may need to make some decisions, like not to take the promotion, maybe to change jobs altogether, because a child is a gift from God, not really ours, just on loan. And God is looking at us to know how we will care for them and train them. And one day we will need to give an account. If your sons are aged 16 to 14, you and I must make time for them, for these are the crucial years. These are the years, according to Stephen Bidoff, an Australian psychologist, where boys are locking on to dads and stepdads because now they are ready to copy him, to learn from him, and to study how to be a male. When we do these things, moving in this direction, our children will learn the deepest, most innermost love. Their deepest, innermost love needs are met by the love of Christ, and they won't bounce from one person to another in an endless parade of relationships as they look for love. They'll know that their significance comes from knowing Christ instead of being on that earthly treadmill of achievement. They'll know that their soul satisfaction is found in serving God and others, not in chasing money. They will know that they would derive strength and courage from God so that they can stand firm in a world full of sin and evil. And they will be secure in the knowledge that they have a place in heaven and so are liberated from the fear of death. They know that they will know God who made them and who He's made them to be. And they will be keen to live life in concert with how He has wired them up. You might say to me, John, but are there any guarantees that our children will automatically follow God and turn out okay? No, there's no guarantees. And they may decide not to follow Jesus as we have. But if we know Jesus and the things of God, then we will be more able to effectively communicate to our children what it means, so that they can make an informed decision. It doesn't matter how old you are or what stage you are. If you would start on this path this day, you will make a huge difference to your children and your descendants. You might say, can I really make a difference? Let me read to you part of a book. Jonathan Edwards was one man who made a difference. He was born in 1703. He was perhaps the most brilliant mind America ever produced. He was a pastor, a writer, and later president of Princeton. He and his wife had 11 children. Of his known male descendants, more than 300 became pastors, missionaries, and theological professors. 120 were professors at various universities. 110 became attorneys. 60 were prominent authors. 30 were judges. 14 served as presidents of universities and colleges. 3 served as U.S. congressmen. And 1 became Vice President of the United States. Jonathan Edwards made a difference because he was a dad who took the power of God seriously. And generation after generation, the men would do the same. Although Edwards was known for his daily regimen of 13 hours in the study, and despite his busy schedule of teaching, writing and pastoring, he made it a habit to come home and spend 1 hour each day with his children. Edwards was one of the great minds of history, yet this world-class scholar had his priorities right. He not only made sure he was home for dinner, but he got at least 1 hour of family time each night. It's my guess that Edwards made a difference in generation after generation because he understood his God-appointed role as husband and father. You can make a difference, men. God has given you the power. You can make a difference. And God willing, we will. Now, dads, I'm going to ask you to stand in a moment. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. And we're going to thank God together for being a dad. We're going to tell Him that we're committed to being a dad who will use power in the way that He wants to shape our descendants. And then we're going to ask Him for help. The words will appear on the screen before me. So, dads, will you please stand? Just dads, you stand. Let's talk to the Heavenly Father together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for blessing us with children. Thank you for making us fathers, grandfathers. This day, we commit ourselves to being fathers who will use the position, privilege and power of being a father to raise children well. Please equip us as we learn from you, our Heavenly Father. Strengthen us for this great responsibility you have given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now remain standing. Ladies, I've been neglecting you for a bit. Speaking to the men, you know, men, we can do this. We can shape our descendants for generations. But ladies, I've neglected you. In your hearing, these men have declared to God their commitment to being a dad. You just might want to honour your men and show your support for them now. And you can do that by clapping.